No, I'm telling. Okay, I'm not going to tell you why. That probably was off. All right, so I'm thinking about Christmas time and how exciting this time of year is. And just this morning, my 8-year-old grandson wakes up, and his first thing to Mimi and I was, he's like, "Mimi, I'm so excited." He's like, "You know, did you know that there's only 6 days until Christmas? 6 days until Christmas." He's so excited. He says, "And I can't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow there will only be 5 days until Christmas." It's just true. You think about it, man, Christmas is kind of weird because it's the only time of year we sit around a dead tree and eat candy out of our socks. But it is exciting. It's a great time of year, and I hope that you're excited too. Today we're going to talk about something that I believe is just crucial for us to look at. We're in this series called Look. And we're just in the second week as we wrap up Core 52. But man, if you think about it, the things we look at, the things we pay attention to in our lives will literally determine our direction in life. And the things that we look at that determine our direction will ultimately determine where we're headed in our life and our legacy as a result of that. And we talked about our legacy last week a little bit as we looked at the biblical value of mentoring and what that means to us. Well, today we're going to look back. Yet last week we looked around. This week we're going to look back at what I believe is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us. In fact, as James pointed out just a moment ago as he read from the scriptures, you could make a case that without this gift, there would be no Christmas as we know it. What I'd like you to do right now is do me a favor, all right? And I want you to get a little involved, all right? So if you have a Bible today, I want you to get it out and put it in your lap. If you have it on your phone, maybe on your Bible app, go ahead and get that out. If you're here in our audience, if you're watching online, here's a chance. Reach in front of you and just get a hold of the scriptures and hold them in your hands, okay? There's some in the seats in front of you, if you'd like. Again, if you have one. If you did not bring a Bible today and you would like to own one, just head right out to the guest, to our welcome center, and we'll give you the Bible this morning, or you can take home the one in front of you, all right? You can do that. So everybody got one? You got a Bible in your hands? Please, I just want you to hold this, okay? I just want you to hold it in your hands. Feel it. Open it up. Maybe look at the table of contents. Flip it open to maybe just anywhere that you feel like, you know, you just want to open up to, and hold the scriptures in the two of your hands today. All right, you got it? Awesome. All right. Just think about what you're holding right now. The Word of God Himself. Inspired scriptures. You're going to touch, shop for, open, give, and receive so many gifts, probably. Maybe just one or two, but they're going to be special this Christmas season. And I would argue that you would never hold in your hands, you will never touch or shop for, give, or receive a greater gift than what you have in your hands right now. So I hope that as you hold this word, whether it's on your phone or whether it's in, you know, in paper form in your hand, that you would understand, look, every time you open this thing, you are unwrapping a present. And God has a gift waiting for you. It's probably no secret to you that I love the Bible. I mean, it has been such a gift to me. I mean, I look back and I see how the Spirit of God has used the Word of God in my life in so many, not superficial ways. I'm talking personal ways. From the time I was a teenager, first discovering God's word and getting in and, you know, just kind of looking things for the very first time. And if you know my story, you know that I never looked at a Bible till I was 16 years old, and all these things were like kind of, what is this stuff, you know? And I needed some help, so people helped me with that. I think about when Lisa and I were dating and when we were first married and how it just kind of set the tone and the foundation as we read God's word and lived it together. I think about ever since that day, how many times it has saved, literally saved our marriage, by living the Word of God between us. I think about parenting and relationships, about the ministry and the churches that I've been involved in, and so many conversations that I've had back and forth from students to kids to people laying on their deathbed for the final time. God's Word is such a gift. You know, if we look back at what it says, we understand that we're not just looking back at our lives like I do when I think about God's word, but we're also looking back at the history of God's people. We're looking back at the Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he has changed history once and for all and forever, and how all of this, all that we celebrate today, got started. You know, 50 weeks ago, yeah, it's crazy. 50 weeks ago, we started this Core 52 started. We kicked it all off talking about God's word being our guide. And it was a privilege back in January to kind of lay out why we believe God's word is true. And I just want to encourage you to go back to that message in January. We've talked about it all throughout the year, as a matter of fact, to kind of keep us moving through. But go ahead and check that out. The goal of the last 50 weeks wasn't just for us as a family to get into the Bible, but to get the Bible into us and for the Bible to get out of us and into the world around us. And I think you've seen that all throughout the year. It's been an incredible, incredible thing watching and listening and just kind of being in the memory verses. Y'all been memorizing scripture. You've been doing meditations. You've been on the Core 52 page on Facebook, and you've been doing these exercises together. We talk about getting the word out of us. So many of you have taken those challenges seriously all throughout the year, and you've been sharing Jesus with the world. You've been serving. You've been giving and being generous. I mean, just so many ways that you have been living God's word with us. And I just, man, 50 weeks of getting into the word and getting the word into you and then getting the word out has been an incredible year. And I hope you have taken time to just kind of taking a deep breath and rejoicing in that, because that's something we can celebrate. Core 52, it's been good. Now this week, our memory verse is out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is our Core 52 memory verse. We talked about this particular book last week because it had to do with the Apostle Paul and his final words before he would die to a young mentor of his, a disciple named Timothy. Timothy, as we talked about mentoring, we talked about this particular book. And just the power of these words coming from a man who was leaving his legacy to a young disciple just kind of adds power to it, all right? So what I want you to do is just kind of take a look at these words. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to take a moment to read them together like we have done many times throughout the series. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." All right, you got it? All right, let's read it together. Let's go ahead and stand up. You guys need to stretch up a little bit, all right? Let's get those legs moving a little bit. Let's say this together. God's word. And one reason I like to stand when we read God's word is honestly out of respect. I mean, you guys got your Bible still? All right, hold on to these. I know the words are on the screen, but let's read these together on three. Ready? One, two, three. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete for every good work. Do y'all believe that this morning?
Yes.
I mean, let's read it again. All right, now listen. Let this absorb into your mind. This is what the word of God literally is. Okay, ready, set, go. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof,
for correction, for training, righteousness.
Good, good, good. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. Good job, you guys. Wait. Do you believe you are holding in your hand right now the living, breathing word of God himself? I mean, if that doesn't get you going, I mean, I don't think about, wow, are you kidding me? This word scripture literally means written thing. And this thing that is written has been breathed out by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Y'all, the word of God, the Bible, inspired by the Spirit of God, the word of God, given to the people of God. Its authors either wrote or composed every single word in this scripture according to what God wanted to write. This is God's story, the story of his son, the story of his love. And it is so useful for training and for reproof. You know what reproof means? It means that it's going to set us in the right direction. It's good for teaching. It's good for correction. It's good for training in righteousness, which as James said earlier, man, if we could live the word, live like Jesus, how better would the world be? Training in righteousness. Why? Why is this even happen? Because the man or woman of God can become complete, lacking nothing. equipped for every single good work. And the Bible is so, it is inspired. I mean, it is the word of God, but it's also inspiring. It's inspired and it's inspiring. It motivates us. It moves us to do righteous things, to do good works. It motivates us by God's love. It motivates us by telling us the story of Jesus. I've said it a lot, and he died for me, so I'm going to live for him. The Bible teaches us that. It's inspiring. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, above all, understand, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. The prophecy never had its origin in human will, so it wasn't from man. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, the Bible, inspired and inspiring. And it's no wonder it's inspiring, because it came from God. And it's no wonder that it's important and that we love and live the Bible here at CCW. I mean, did you know that this is one of our core values as a church? Biblical truth. It means making God's word our guide in everything we do. The Bible's valued and it's used all over the place here, individuals and as a church family. From our foundations class, when you first become a member, you have heard this, you know this is true, to every single small group and sermon and family ministry activities right now all over our building, there are kids learning God's word. Every elder, staff member, leader, disciple of Jesus is called and challenged to live the best way they can according to the word of God, to be like Jesus. In fact, if you go online, you'll find our basics study. It's available in video form. We also have a book. And there's session two is called How to Read the Bible. It's part of our DNA. It's who we are. Josh and his team on Wednesday nights. Maybe you were here on Wednesday nights. You just spent like 930 weeks going through the story of the Bible. It was pretty cool watching that happen. How we got the Bible, how to read the Bible. Next year, we're going to have an entire series dedicated to how to read the Bible, why to read the Bible. It's to understand this and to own it. I believe the best day of your life will be the day you begin to take the Scriptures seriously. We love the Scriptures. They're inspiring. They're also amazing. You understand that the book you hold in your hand isn't just a book. It's a library of books. It's a library of books and letters inspired by God, written by 40 authors over 1,600 years, three different continents, three different languages. We have in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. 39 of these 66 books are in the Old Testament. Testament meaning covenant or contract with God. It's about God creating the world, leading his people, pointing the way to Jesus. Over 300 prophecies pointing to Jesus the Messiah. The 27 New Testament books include the true stories of Jesus, the Gospels. The book of Acts gives us the story of the church that was born as a result of Jesus rising from the grave and the Holy Spirit coming. And we've got letters that are then written by men like Paul to Timothy. These letters encouraging those who knew Jesus, were inspired by Jesus and the Spirit, be better men, to be better women, to be churches that glorify God. It's full of history, it's full of science, poetry, literature, wisdom, all with one consistent, unified, errorless, timeless message. That's the history-changing story of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who comes from heaven to rescue mankind from their sin and death and offer us eternal life. That's the book that you hold in your hands. It is amazing. Want to know whether the Bible is true or not, all we need to do is look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. You see, we can believe that the Bible is God's amazing word because of Jesus, God's perfect Son, who came from heaven to earth and lived a perfect life. Y'all can't hear this enough. I can't say this enough. God came to earth. Yes, born in a manger, but he lived a perfect life, and he healed, and he taught perfectly, died on the cross for your sins and mine, and then rose from the grave to live eternally at the right hand of God. And Jesus points to the Old Testament and affirms it as the word of God. And then he becomes the living fulfillment of the Old Testament, the living word in the New Testament. Jesus, it's in Christ that we have our salvation, and the word of God explains that to us. Not only eternal life, but abundant life in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, and Jesus is made known to us through the Scriptures. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, for you have been born again, God says, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. We don't worship the Bible here. We worship Jesus. But Jesus points to the Bible as God's word, and we have to take it seriously because Jesus took it seriously. That's scripture, inspiring, amazing, life-changing. And it's not meant to just inform us. The Bible was written to transform us from the inside out. So again, I just want to encourage you, man, if I could just to get into the word, to get the word into you and to get the word out of you and into the world we live in. James read Joshua 1:8 earlier, meditate on God's word day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. James chapter 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what the word of God says to do. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite passages. The word of God is alive. It's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The Bible literally can get into our bodies and cut us inside out and transform us and change us according to his spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, listen, comes alive. Changes everything about us from the inside out. And he does it all for our good and his glory. What a gift. What a gift we have in God's word. Well, there's all kinds of ways that I could explain today, and we could kind of talk about how to kind of apply God's word. But what I would like to do for the rest of our service today is I would like to invite some friends of mine up to the stage and just kind of explain to you some of the ways that they know and understand God's word to be true and alive in their life, and give you some handles. Man, these real life stuff, I believe, as you see them on stage and hear their words, just say, hey, yes, I can relate to that. I can use that. Okay, so if you have your sermon notes, you want to get these out, take some notes along the way. If you're watching online, pay attention. Now I'm going to introduce to you three of my good friends. Frank Chaparino, come on up. Frank is one of our elders here at CCW. You might know Frank through pickleball. I know he brags about his pickleball prowess all the time. But I would tell you, he and his wife Jan, all their years of marriage, all the time I've known Frank, one thing I know about Frank is that he is a man of the word of God, and he loves God's word, and I'm excited about what he's going to share with us today. I also want to invite Mike Cupp to come on up. Mike is our newest elder here at CCW. Mike and his wife Carol, again, they live God's word. I love it because James 1:22 just comes alive in Mike's life. I have known Mike in ministry here for just a few years, but there are stories after stories of him coming alongside of you, hospital rooms and beds, small groups, yep, and he loves God's word. And now I want to introduce to you the most beautiful of the three of my guests today, Lisa Caputo. Come on up, Lisa is my wife. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to show you up, but we got to have a rose in the middle of these thorns, if you know what I'm talking about. You can sit in the middle there. We've got a few minutes, and just kind of want to bring this front and center because this is real life stuff that we're talking about when we talk about God's word. So, I don't know, maybe be thinking about a story or a specific thing that you know to be true about God's word and how it's affected your life. And Frank, I'll start with you since I introduced you first. I know that that you've used certain tools throughout your life, you know, to kind of help you engage with God's word. Why don't you tell us about some of the things that help you get the most out of the Bible?
Joe, I'm excited about being here this morning. I am glad we're more than two or three that are gathered, aren't you? How many expected God to work in their lives this morning? Raise your hands. I believe we have a gift. The gift of God is the best gift that we have. There's an old song that used to be sung. It's some gospel singers during the 70s. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. And I tell you, there's nothing greater than getting together with a group of people who love the Lord. Does everyone agree with that this morning? You know, Joe talks very easily about reading the scripture, but I wrote something down I want to share with you. Sometimes in reality, reading the scripture is a chore. I want to be honest with you. And sometimes I personally struggle with that. What I'm going to give with you this morning, give to you this morning, is Frank's three picks to help you do this. Real simple. Now, there's many other picks that are in the notes, but here's my top three. Pick a Bible. Second pick, pick a quiet place and a start time. Third pick, pick a study. Now, I have a panel of people here. We're going to get into it, but I want you to chant it out. First one. What's the first one? Pick a Bible. Let's say it together. Pick a Bible. Second one, pick a quiet start time. Repeat it. Pick a quiet place and a start time. The third one is pick a study. Now, this can be a little bit difficult. Now, I got a panel of people here. I'm going to ask them to work it through us this morning. I'm going to start with Lisa. Lisa, work with me, my sister.
So here's what really happened. I asked Frank to answer some questions on stage.
I'm ready, Frank. Go. What's the question?
Hey, what can I tell you, my brother? I'm trying to work this the best I can.
There you go.
He gives me a hard time. I don't know why. I think because he loves me.
Spontaneous, Frank. I'm spontaneous.
You know, before we got started, I don't know if you caught it, he gave me a kiss. Now, with Italians, the kiss on the wrong side of cheek, you could get in trouble. But I won't talk about that this morning.
Who gave you a kiss?
What?
Who gave you a kiss?
Joe gave me a kiss this morning. He gave me a kiss on the cheek.
It was a holy kiss.
Lisa, I'm going to start with you. Tell me, what Bible have you picked? And I'm going to ask Mike the same question.
Yes. Frank, from going through all of my years, I think it depends where I'm at when I'm studying. Because I love the NIV, but I love the Message, too. The Message brings alive so much stuff, so different, you know. So those would be my two picks. I just love the Bible.
Mike, how about you?
You know, I do a lot of teaching, and so I have to do a lot of study. And so I find the most reliable scriptures for me is the New American Standard Bible, NASB.
Okay, and I find the NIV to be, you know, they claim it's supposed to be one of the Bibles, including the one that Mike mentioned, one of the closest ones in the translation. Now, next. And Joe, did I take away your thunder this morning?
I'm just waiting to see what you're going to do next.
Lisa, help me out here. Tell me, you pick a quiet place. Where and when do you do it, and what's your start time?
My goodness, Frank. let me think. I love the mornings. I love the quiet of the house. And I love finding a comfy place because I'm all about comfy. I love comfortable. So I find by my fake fireplace in the living room, or I go out on the back porch because I like the nature and seeing what God's going to do.
Okay, I've got to tell you guys, 32 years, we just celebrated our 32nd anniversary on Wednesday and Thursday. Anyway, the 16th. And I don't know anybody that loves Jesus or the Bible more than this woman. And I live with her. I'm telling you the truth. When I get up in the morning, she's my hero in the scripture. I'm just saying that to get points, or because it's Christmas time and I want a present. It's literally true. What you see is what you get with her, and she loves the Bible. And I don't know how that happened, Lisa. How that was that something that developed through the years or something?
The thing that I think that Joe knows is when it says the Bible is living and active, and I'm 52 years old. So I'm headed for the other side of life, and I'm learning a lot, but I'm learning that the Bible has been a living, breathing person like God is in my life, because the things I was raised in, my parents did their best, and I had grandparents that loved Jesus, that they were strong in the Word, even so much so that one day my grandfather, when I was a little girl, I said, "Gosh," and he goes, "Do not even take the derivative of the Lord's name in vain." And I knew at that point my grandfather was serious about Jesus, and I respected him. So as a little girl, you learn the stories, and I learn about Jesus. As a teenager, I rebel against Jesus, and I go and step out into my own stuff and go, that's not really important, you know. And then I come back to Jesus in Bible college. And again, I've been a Christian since I was 9. But my relationship with the Word is like my relationship with God. So I go to Bible college and I put feet on my faith, because I learned that this faith that everybody's talking about, my parents, my grandparents, it's not just a feeling. It's real. Jesus can be proven. The God can be proven. He can be proven as much as we can. So I put this feet on my faith. Now it's living in a different way in me. But yet I'm still, you know this, as humans, we still go, or something else breaks in, or culture breaks in. So then we get married, and then I start raising babies. And girls, you know how that is. You don't have time. Now it becomes a guilt. Now the Word of God guilts you, because you're going, ooh, I'm not in it every morning. I'm not in it every day. And then you get this relationship of guilt that is not healthy. So as the kids grow up and they move out, my life starts to balance into this beautiful falling back in love with God's Word. And you see, because of that, nothing goes undone. That childlike, that teenage, that evidence, it all culminates into this time that I want to spend the rest of my life, whatever that is, knowing the God that I serve and knowing His face and falling in love with Him more and more. So that's really, it's this living, breathing relationship with Him and His Word.
Mike, where is your quiet place?
My family is different. Each one of us is quite different. I'm a morning person. Carol is not. For me, I start out the day, after I've had my breakfast, I go into the office, I close the door, and there I meet with God. My son Joel does much the same thing. Carol, when she starts out her day, then she sits in a comfortable green chair in the corner of our bedroom, closes the door, and we all know, leave Mom alone, for she's with God.
For the sake of time, because these are sometimes not brief answers, I'm going to go on to the third one. Is that okay? Lisa, you okay with
yes,
that?
Yes, please, Frank.
Pick a study. And I'll share this one, and then I'll let my brothers and sisters follow up with it. Sometimes that's a struggle. I recently went to UVersion, and they have some wonderful studies out there, and the one that I chose was the New Testament 90 days. What's fantastic about it, it tracks you. So there is little boxes that you check off, and if you're like me, I like checking off little boxes. And it tracks you from day to day. It lets you know if you're on target, or if you're behind, or if you're ahead of schedule. Isn't that a great thing to do? The other thing that I do, and this is important, I have a notebook next to me. And sometimes I will write down something that God has struck in my heart and that I need to write down and share it with my lovely wife. And I think that's an important thing to do. I also write down some questions that I have, saying, what in the world is this saying here? And often I will come in here after pickleball, I will see Josh, Joe, or Jeff, and I love to get their feedback. But I'd ask you guys briefly, because Joe, you have other questions, and we have time is running short. Is that right, my brother? Quickly, my brother.
So what is it you want me to talk about?
We didn't practice this. We practiced it once, and it's nothing like what we practiced. When you pick a study, what study have you picked, my brother?
Here's the thing for me is that I was born on a Sunday morning. The next Sunday morning, I'm in church. Okay, so I have spent a lifetime hearing countless sermons, reading the Word of God. And I'll tell you, sadly, for many of those years, I found the scriptures And I say this, I found it confusing, I found it fragmented, difficult to understand. It was not until I truly committed to studying the Word of God that I really began to put things together, that it all kind of, the pieces began to have a structure. I've had the value of a number of really great teachers. And these teachers have taught me a whole bunch of lessons, many of which, sadly, I've forgotten. But there are a couple of them that have hung with me that I find valuable, and every time I read the scriptures, I use them. Now, one of those is every time I read the scriptures, I ask three questions. Context, context, context. It is, what is the context around those verses? Read the whole chapter, the verses that surround it. Context, what is the book that I am reading from? I need to know about that. And lastly, what is the historic context? I love history, and so this is an easy one for me to understand. What were these words that were written in the scriptures? What's going on at that time? The other thing that I've found that's really valuable to me, another great teacher gave to me, is to ask when I read the scriptures, what does it say? What does it mean? But most importantly, how do I apply this to my life?
Nice.
Those things changed everything.
Yeah, you can do that kind of method. That what does it say? What does it mean? How can I apply it with just a single verse? I mean, you want to understand the context around that. Absolutely. Sometimes we're guilty of cherry picking certain, you know, specific passages. We want to put them on our bumper sticker on our refrigerator, but those verses exist in a bigger story. They're connected to the entire story of God. So we want to be sure to include context even over content, and then, or before content, and then go from there. But yeah, and then understanding, hey, what does it say? What does it mean? How can I live it out with a single verse even? Simple.
Just one other website I want to share with you, blueletterbible.com. If you want to take a deeper dive in the scriptures, it's a tremendous tremendous website where you could write in the word, and it has all sorts of ways that you could take a look at the scriptures. It's called blueletterbible.com. You may want to check that out.
Hey, Frank, and you guys might. Last week we talked about mentoring and legacy. And I know that Frank, I'm really good friends with Mike's son, Joel, who's not a kid anymore. Sorry, Joel, if you're listening. I don't know where you're at, but a great man of God. I don't know what, you know, kind of relationship or what you've taught your son through the years. I know our kids are grown. Frank's got two grandkids, 13 and 16 years old, that he and Jan have been intentional about sharing God's word with. I'm just curious, Frank, what's your best way of doing that with your grandkids?
So, you know, here's the big question. As an elder, am I walking the talk? And I take a good look at me. I take some moral inventory. This summer, I had my 13-year-old and my 16-year-old grandson come to the house. And I said, you know something? I need to do a study with them that can motivate them, and as we were just talking, make these scriptures come alive. We've been doing the Core 52 book, but I found out there's a student edition. What my wife and I did, we picked two. We picked two out of the 52, and we let my grandsons pick eight. Each morning, I said to them, just 15 minutes. I wanna just share something with you for 15 minutes. We would read the devotional. And I want to tell you, here's the scary thing. And God was working and moving in their lives. The 15 minutes stretched to a half hour to 45 minutes to an hour. And it just wasn't Jan and I talking. It was them asking questions. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it made the Bible jump out at them. So I was excited about that.
So Core 52, it's called, you remember what it's called? Quest 52? No, that's the next. That's called 452 Student Edition. And I just got word our youth ministry next year is going to be going through this together with our students. So if you're a teenager, a parent, grandparent, Wednesday nights, Eli and the crew are going to be teaching right out of Core 52 for students with the students. So that's exciting, Frank, that you're using that and found success. access there. So as we kind of wrap up, and I know Frank and Mike and Lisa, myself, will be available, our elders, maybe you're, I would just encourage you, we talked about this the other night, that the scriptures were written to study and live in community with others. So as we, you know, as we promote and talk about small groups, talk about discipleship, talk about being with a mentor, it is literally so that as we study and grow, we're to study and grow together, right? If you guys, maybe that, my tip for you sitting here would be not do this alone. The Bible has helped change my life because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and also because the people of God have helped me to live the way that God has asked me to live in my life. And accountability is so important. What's one challenge that you would give us as a church family? Maybe just kind of a quick 30 second to a minute, you know, just kind of going down the line, Frank. What's one challenge that you would give to our family?
I gave it to Gretchen. You know, here's the challenge, guys. It takes anywhere from 28 to 30 days to get a habit. Get into the habit. As soon as you get up in the morning, and that's when I do, I start rocking and rolling, and I immediately pull up the scriptures. Now, I want to tell you what I do. I hit the play button, too. So I'm able to read it, and I'm able to hear it. So it's like a double. It's double things hitting my mind and heart.
So you're talking about YouVersion?
The YouVersion. That's the one I'm talking about.
It's a Bible app. It's also Bible.com online, and it features all kinds of translations and interpretation, you know, of scripture. So you can download that, and there's also an audio, so you can listen to it if you're not a reader. Don't want to listen to read it. So, yeah, that's called YouVersion. Good, Frank. So habit, yes, good stuff. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, for me, I find this, you know, Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word of God as alive and active. And it needs to be alive and active in each one of our lives. This is a story of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's truth. It's where we find the answers to all of our problems. This is life itself. Just like that bloodmobile out there, it's a life blood. And we need to have it in our lives every day.
Inspiring. It's good. How about you, Lisa?
My encouragement would be, because I have a heart for young women, older women, all women, be kind to yourself. Don't let the guilt of 1 hour yesterday not being in Scripture keep you from being in Scripture, because the guilt will overtake you. So when I say be kind, find a place, find it in the organic ways, you know, just get there, just be there, if that makes sense. I don't know that that makes sense, because I know that as young moms, we are run ragged. We are busy as everything comes into play.
We tend to play the comparison game too.
Yes,
you might even
absolutely
be playing that game right now as you're listening to us going, well, I could never be or do or slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Don't play the comparison game.
About your relationship with Jesus. And I want to be perfectly blunt with you this morning. The scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is who makes the Word of God come alive in our lives. It is the inspired Word of God to us. So it's not going to make sense to you if you are not a follower of Jesus. Now, I would ask you to pray. Not a Christ follower today, I would ask you to pray and take seriously the scriptures as a historical document and look at Jesus as a historical figure who rose from the grave after he was killed and then pointed to the scripture as the Word of God. And I would ask you, if you're not a Christ follower, to consider what it might mean to follow Jesus in your life, be baptized, to have the Holy Spirit come into your life and begin to reveal. I can tell you, it didn't make sense to me. And there's times that still I got to study this out. But before I was a Christian, I'm like, why would anybody read this? And then as I discovered and encountered Jesus, the Savior, everything changed as the Holy Spirit began to work in me through from the inside out. So I guess a short way of saying that is, give God a chance. give him your life, begin to follow Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit in you, you'll find the Word of God working in you like never before. And if you are a Christ follower, again, I mentioned prayer. This would be something so important for us to just, before you read the scriptures, pray. Please. Even if you're not sure God's hearing your prayers, maybe you just, the first time you've ever been thinking about Jesus, pray anyway. Because the Holy Spirit's waiting to do something on you or around you, even if he's not in you yet. So ask him to reveal to you something you don't know already about Jesus and see what happens. Pray. Pray. Then open the Bible and begin to do some of the things that you've learned today in your life. Surround yourself with other believers, other people. Again, if you're not a Christ follower, attach yourself. Bother us, okay? Call on the phone, shoot a text, call and say, hey, look, I need some help understanding this. Okay, look, this is what the body of Christ is for. There's someone sitting around you right here this morning, someone in your life that knows Jesus and has the Holy Spirit and understands the scriptures in a way that is more than glad. We would rather talk about this than anything else with you, more than the Bucks, more than the lightning, more than Christmas time, more than anything else. We would love to share with you why we understand and know God's word to be true and Jesus to be our Savior. So pray, read, study, and allow God to do what only he can do in your life. So I really appreciate y'all coming up and sharing with us. We do have another song we're going to sing together. And so let's go ahead and stand. Mike, can I ask you to, give me the mic. Okay, you better get those mics back. All right, I do have a headset on. So let's go ahead and stand together and let's pray. And then we're going to sing. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we're gathered here today because of you. God, we celebrate Christmas because of Jesus, and we understand that he is all we need in this life. And God, I'm sure you would have revealed Jesus to us through creation. You've done that. You've shown us your spirit. You've shown us the life and the amazing love that you have for us in so many ways, God, but none greater than your word. So thank you for the word of God. And I pray today that we would accept that gift that we have from you, that we would open the scriptures, that we would read the Christmas story like James did earlier, that we would open the letters, open the history books, open the things that are there to be revealed to us by the Spirit. And God, you would begin to change us by the power of your Spirit from the inside out. It's going to lead us to be better people, our community, parents, husbands, wives, kids, stronger church, people that you created us to be. Because as we unfold and read and understand the scriptures, we're going to be becoming more like Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those who have joined us on stage and for their lives, and God, for the way that they're examples to me and all of us. God, please reveal your love to us by the power of your Spirit through your word, starting right now in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.